science.
Here's a question for you. You ever felt happy after watching a sad movie? It's okay. It may be a perfectly normal reaction. And are wearable fitness trackers actually effective? You Fitbit people. These are things we will talk over with Dr. Susanna Elliott, CEO of the Australian Science Media Centre, and our research filter this evening. Susanna, good day.
Good evening.
We won't get to the sad movies just yet. Let's keep that in reserve. Let's look at these fitness trackers that, well, scientists suggest maybe no better at helping you lose weight than just, well, you know, tracking your own fitness yourself.
Yes. So, indeed, I know we don't really want to hear about this one, do we?
Well, I don't know.
But I think the American researchers behind this study, I mean, you get the impression, actually, that they really went into this study believing that this wearable technology that tracks activity would help people lose weight by encouraging them to do more exercise, obviously. And I think they were really quite shocked when they found that the story is really not that simple.
Who'd have thunk
it? So what they did was they put a large group of overweight people through a two-year weight loss program, and they divided them into two groups. One group had the standard weight loss program. The other group had the standard weight loss program, but they were also given the activity tracker device. Mm. And what they found was that after 2 years, the people on the standard program without any wearable technology lost on average 5 kilograms, while those wearing the activity trackers lost only 3.5 kilograms on average.
Oh, dear.
So, yes, indeed, it doesn't ensure that you're going to lose weight.
I'm thinking, Susanna, that being a two-year study, that's pretty solid, a fair evidence base. It sounds like reasonably good research.
Yeah, look, you know, they did have, a bit of a dropout rate. It's only 75% made it to the end of the program, which you can sort of understand. But on the other hand, quite a few of those who dropped out did so for good reason, like they got pregnant or something, you know. So, you know,
I think it's a
reasonably compelling study. The only sort of missing bit for me is why, you know, what's the psychology behind this? And the paper itself, the research doesn't actually go into that, but they do comment in the media quite a bit about it. And they make this point, which I think makes sense, and they're not kind of 100% sure, but it kind of makes sense that if you're using a tracking device, and I know this myself because I do use one, that when you get to sort of 10,000 or 11,000 steps, you think, oh, great, you
job
know,
done.
I can have that extra piece of cake.
Yeah,
why not? I've just done 11,000 steps. So they think it might be, it's a psychology.
There's your psychology.
The psychology of them.
Right there.
Well, it's most likely behind it.
Speaking of psychology, there's a new study. This is the sad one. Oxford University and suggests that watching sad movies could actually do us some good, make us happier. Explain that.
Well, I think what they did was they set out to find out why people love watching sad movies and they keep on coming back to them. You can understand watching comedies, but why do we constantly want to watch these sad movies? And so to try and answer that question, they took a group of about 170 people and they made half of them sit through a really boring documentary, a history documentary. That was the control group.
Right.
And then the other group, they put into smaller groups and they made them sit through a film called Stuart, A Life Backwards, which is a film about a homeless man who was abused as a child and eventually commits suicide. It's terribly tragic.
Right.
And they found that those who had watched the sad film had an increased pain threshold, which they put down to a release of endorphins, which, of course, are the hormones that are released when you're under stress. So, for example, the jogger's high, you know, people who are addicted to jogging get this endorphin release. And so that endorphins make you feel kind of happy. So they think it's the endorphins.
I wonder if happy movies can make you sad.
No, there doesn't seem to be any indication of that whatsoever. In fact, apparently a similar study was done with comedy and they found similar, you know, that it releases endorphins for people as well.
Okay.
So whether you're laughing or you're crying, you're still getting the endorphin.
As long as you're feeling something.
Yeah.
that sounds like a pretty nice, good research there. Does it get your ticks, is it?
Yes. Yeah, no, I think it's definitely interesting. I mean, it's one of those things. It's a bit of research in a long line of bits of research.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, certainly it's interesting.
Now, here's a quick one before we get to the news. And researchers in the US and Israel, X-ray technology to read a charred scroll. And it's not some 15-year-old shopping list, but the first verses from the Book of Leviticus. How extraordinary.
Yes. So this scroll is somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 years old. severely burnt and damaged. And so, you know, when it was first found in 1970, they could hardly touch it without it disintegrating. So, you know, we're talking about something that's incredibly sensitive. And so it sat there for 40 years with nobody daring to open it. And so now they've used this X-ray technique called virtual unwrapping, which is a bit like CAT scans that are, you know, used to look inside your body without opening you up. And what they managed to do, along with some very impressive computer software, was to create an image of the inside of this scroll and actually create a 2D map that gave them, you know, the actual text so they could read what was in it, which is pretty amazing.
I'm deeply impressed, Susanna, and I'm sure you are too.
Yes, and the idea now is that it could be used for all sorts of other scrolls, Dead Sea scrolls that haven't been opened and all sorts of things. So it's the tip of the iceberg, really.
That is rather brilliant. Susanna Elliott, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Susanna Elliott is CEO of the Australian Science Media Centre, our research filter for the evening. And I think we had some pretty cracking science there. All pretty much thumbs up.